Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad that you're able to be with us today. Very excited about this series that we're in the midst of right now, too. Let me just start by asking this. How many have ever found yourself in a situation that was beyond you? You were given a job that was something that was bigger than you thought that you were able to do. Can I see your hand? In other words, you kind of got thrown into the proverbial deep end of things and felt like a non-swimmer. Or a novice swimmer that way. And you know that feeling, you know, you're in that situation, you're not ready for it, it's bigger than you, and the feeling you feel is what? Yeah, it's that overwhelming, what am I going to do? It's almost that panic kind of thing. Well, as we move a little bit further into our series now on faith, and in particular, the five things that God wants to use to build our faith, this may actually serve as a reference point for you, those being tossed in the deep end situations. Now, we put together a simple acrostic for faith to be able to help us, hopefully, to remember what the five things that God wants to use to build our faith and to remind us that God continually wants to be building our faith. For all the reasons that go with it, that's something that God greatly desires with us for us to be able to do. So let me just run through those real quickly. If you haven't been with us, if you've been with us, maybe you can start to tick these off as you use them on your handout sheet anyways. So we begin, the first one, F, would be friends. It's exactly right. Last week, Pastor Rob talked to us about the power of circle that is taking place in our lives, you know, versus a straight line, and how God wants to use that power of circle to bring about life change, to take us deeper into truth before. It was so cool. We had about 400 people that came out, not a part of a group at all, that joined us on Sunday evening and said, you know, I'm willing to, you know, to try a group for that 6-week, 8-week trial period. If you weren't able to be with us, love to have you to be able to be a part of one of those new groups that are just starting. All you'd have to do would be to fill out either your communication card, just write, you know, interested in a group, or stop by the table that's in the gym afterwards, just let a person know that. I think you'll find it to be a great experience. And a key part of this faith aspect that God wants to be growing in your life. I'm going to need from our tech people up there some screen help here as well, please. Second thing God wants to do is R, and that is, A, you can tell my spelling in school, product of the public school here, right? A would be action. We want to talk a little bit more about that today. I is going to be intention or intentional. There are a couple of things that if we will plug into our lives, God can use that to greatly just to blow up or increase our faith that way. T is going to be for teaching, practical teaching that will take place, and then H will be for history. There are some pivotal times in our lives that at that time, it is going to be a decider of which way we're going to go in faith, whether up and to the right or definitely down and to the left that way. Faith. Today, let's talk about that A, that action of faith, or what we want to call, we'll term as ministry. What I'd like to do is give us a little bit, just kind of a little bit of biblical foundation to start with. And from there, we'll move into some examination and application. So that's how we'll try to, you know, use our time this morning. So if you have your Bible, let's turn together to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9 is where we want to go. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, and if you can find a pew Bible somewhere nearby, it'll be a great help to you. I actually want to put a bookmark in this. Page 1610 is where we want to go. And we're going to start at the very beginning. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. That'd have been cool. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. The people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now, if you'd have just read that this morning before you came, you might have looked at it and said, okay, I mean, that's a little bit of history, right? That was disciple history, but not particularly interesting and really doesn't have any value for me or for us at all, right? And what could have brought us there is we forget that God wants us to continue to step back in, as it were, to the sandals of those that were going through this. Everything in the Bible, real event, real people, real time. And if we will either come alongside them or step in those sandals, it helps us to be able to listen to those things that God wants to tell us. For example, in this case, what I want you to do, just look at your feet for a second. You'll see whatever shoes you've got on, or if you've kicked them off already, you'll see your feet and socks, hopefully. I want you to imagine yourself in a pair of sandals, the disciples' sandals. And with that now, I want you to look up. And you'll find yourself at the breakfast table with Jesus. And Jesus is just finishing his coffee. He puts it down. He's getting the toast crumbs out of his beard. He's going, did I get them all? Am I okay here? Okay, great. All right. Hey, today we're going to do something different. Disciples are like, oh, something different. He goes, get a partner. They, you know, kind of got partnered up there. He said, Here's the plan. Today, you're going to do the teaching. In fact, and you're going to do the healing. Matter of fact, let's just put it this way. You're going to do everything. And this is going to be, he said, you're going to love this. This is going to be a six-week assignment. Don't bother taking anything with you. It's going to be safe right here. And in 6 weeks, this is where we're going to meet again. Pause. Disciples looking at each other going, is he serious? He can't be serious. You know, he's joking, isn't he? 5 minutes later, when you look over your shoulder and see Jesus, now you're thinking what? Disciples, you know, disciples are going like, I never taught a lesson in my life. Remember, most of them fishermen, tradespeople, they're going, I didn't have speech class in college because I didn't go to college, and I'm supposed to go out teaching. Oh, I wish I'd have listened more to when he was, you know, when Jesus was talking, right? We should have taken some notes. You know, I got nothing right now. They're looking at each other, you do the teaching. No, you do the teaching. But then it got worse. Did he say heal? Have you ever healed? I've never healed. You never healed. They're thinking, this is going to be a what? Oh, this is going to be a disaster. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, what have we got ourselves into? And above all, at this point, the disciples are thinking this. I'm not, take a guess. Yeah, I'm not ready for this. I'm not prepared to do what Jesus just asked me to do. Now, we could pull out a faith meter. Everybody's got one. Take your faith meter out. It looks something like this. Just take your faith meter out. And if you could hold your faith meter out to the disciples at this point, what would be reading on their faith meter? Yeah, it's not going to be real high, is it? It's going to be somewhere in this range. While your faith meter's out, just hold the person next to you. What are they giving you? Not much, huh? Okay, well, they're probably saying, keep your faith meter to yourself, right? Don't look at me that way. Disciples, I'm not ready for what Jesus asked me to do, for sure. Did Jesus think they're ready? Thought they're ready enough. They had a long way to go, right? They're ready for what he's going to ask them to do. In fact, Jesus is going to say this. Even though you don't feel ready, trust me in this. In fact, a part of the trust that he wants them to get is what we read there. Verses 3-4. Don't take anything with you. In other words, I want you to discover that there is resource out there that you are unaware of. Trust me. So, away they go. They scatter all throughout Galilee, you know, down through Israel. And here's what happens. From verse 6, so they went out, sent out from every village to village, proclaiming good news and healing people everywhere. From 6 down to verse 10, there's 6 weeks. So you could draw a little line right 6 weeks right there. And we pick it up again in verse number 10. 6 weeks later, when the disciples returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. 6 weeks later, healing, teaching, seeing incredible things taking place, it's a little different scene, don't you think? How do you think the disciples felt when they returned? Yeah, when it's like, you know, we are pumped. How was their faith then? Same as when they left? No, right now, you know, hold the faith meter up to the disciples. What's it going to read? Yeah, I mean, after these last 6 weeks, you can put it way, way over. I mean, they may have been pegging it out on the 10. We healed people. How awesome is that? We cast out demons. We saw incredible things taking place. Sidebar, even though their faith was a 10, is this as great as the faith is ever going to be for the disciples? In other words, had they maxed out their capacity for faith? No, they had. Your faith may be pegging out high at this point. Here's the good news. You will never exhaust your capacity for more and greater faith. That's what God has given to us throughout your lifetime. So that's the really good news with this. Over these past 6 weeks, do you think the disciples had any problems? Take a guess. Take a flyer. Yeah, it's always safe to go like, yeah, they probably had some problems along the way. Now, why would we say that? Well, remember what Jesus said, verse 5? If people do not welcome you, then leave their town, shake the dust off their feet. Why did Jesus say this to the disciples, if people don't welcome you? It was because people were what? Yeah, some people were going to go like, what are you doing here? I don't want you. Get out of here. I mean, they were not going to get welcomed at that point. So Jesus is helping them not only in this faith growing, but also in learning, in ministry. You need to be sensitive, you need to have tender heart, and at the same time, kind of a tough hide going on. All of those pieces, you know, together that way. So they come back, faith, you know, great. Next. By the way, do you think the disciples' faith could have gotten this high up to a 10 if they hadn't gone out and done what they just did? So there was, Jesus actually had method to his madness, right? Yeah, there's reason he did that. Okay, so verse 10, here's where we pick it up. They return, they report to Jesus what they've done. So Jesus then took them with him and they withdrew themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. So they get back and Jesus is going, hey, you know what, guys? Let's just go do a quick retreat. Let's debrief on what's gone on. Let's talk about some of these things and take it a little bit further. And they're like, yeah, that's awesome. We're going to go to Bethsaida. Well, as soon as somebody found out, I mean, Facebook just lit up. You know, Twitter's like, Jesus going to Bethsaida. And this was bigger than before because Jesus was already, of course, popular. Big, big crowds were following him. But you had now six teams of the disciples that had been all throughout Israel healing, casting out demons, teaching. So all of that, as soon as they found out Jesus and his boys are going to Bethsaida, it's like they're with him. Then it goes on and says Jesus welcomed them. Sometimes there's impositions that take place, but rather than just going like, you know, this is just such an imposition and getting bent out of shape, Jesus goes, hey, welcome. You know, we're glad you're here. And it says he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are here in a remote place. It's kind of interesting. So you get this, you know, guys come back in the morning, Jesus said, let's go to Bethsaida. They get there, big crowds are there. Everybody spends the day with Jesus, but it, you know, gets dark, 6 o'clock in Israel. And it's like 4:30, 4:45, and the disciples here in the back doing this. They're doing this. I've seen that before here. I've actually seen that take place in church at times. You're thinking, wonder if it'd work for me. It'll work for you as well as it does for the other people in back doing it. That's what I'll tell you that right now. But the disciples are just going like, this is getting late, right? In fact, you know, they're going like, he's not getting the sign. So they come up to him and they're like kind of tugging at his coat and going, psst, Jesus, it's getting late. I mean, think about these poor people. They haven't eaten all day. They've got to be starving. And where are they going to spend the night? translated. Jesus, we're starving. You know, we haven't eaten all day. What are we going to do? Like, you know, let's just kind of, can we wrap this up and get back to what we were going to do? So, anybody know what Jesus is going to do? This is a very popular story. In fact, here's just quick notation here. This is the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. It's the only one that all four Gospels note in it. That's the significance, which most of you, that's why you've heard of that. So we come down to verse 13. You know, Jesus has gone to them. You're right. They haven't eaten. Like, man, am I so glad that I've got you guys here to, you know, give me these insights into life. So he says, verse 13, he replies. In fact, read it with me. Ready? He said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, how do we know Jesus said it? Because it's in red letters right up there, right? All right. He's like, goes like, tell you what, you give them something to eat. Now, it's at moments like this, again, the disciples go, is this a parable? Is this like a code? He's not serious, is he? He can't be serious. I mean, can't be serious. And all of a sudden, it dawns on him what? He's serious. Like, you know, you're kidding. And it's at this point, they go, they answer, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, and we go like, you know, how are we going to do that? You know, you want us to go and buy food for all of these people? It's fascinating, isn't it? Jesus has to do something. And one of the things we're most gifted in is making excuses. In fact, all the gospel writers give us a different way of, you know, a different excuse that what they were saying, all of them coming to the same point of this. We can't, you know, like, we can't do that. I can't do that. I can't feed them, right? Now, we push the pause button here a second, and we want to pull out our faith meters again, all right? Take your faith meter up, hold it to the disciples. What's it reading at this point? Feed them. It's at what? Oh, yeah, it's way back there where, you know, it's at 0. Now, this is fascinating to me. What was it 8 hours earlier? Their faith meter was at what early that morning? It was at 10. And now it's at 0. And sometimes we just look at the disciples and go like, you morons, you know, how could a person have great faith, you know, in the first part of the day and by the end of the day it'd be all the way down here? Do you know anybody like that? It just takes us back to, you know, this is reality in our lives. You know, our faith is great. You know, next faith opportunity challenge comes and it's like, woo. So he goes on. But he said to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of about what? 50. Okay, 50 people. So you got approximately how many people there? About 5,000. So if you have groups of 50, about how many groups you got? I know, public math. Oh, everybody's tensing up already. Get out your phones. Got about how many groups? 100. Now, that's a pretty big group. So you get, you know, every one of these, you just go like, you know, this is about 50, that's about 50, that's about 50, you know, everybody, you know, 50 like that. So you got 100 of these groups. Now, there's 12 disciples, but we'll make it easy for public math. We'll say that there's 10 disciples. So there's 100 groups and 10 disciples. Every disciple's got what? Yeah, about 10 groups. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They got about this many. So they're responsible, and they get people there, and they're like, okay, hey, you know, everybody, you know, get in a group of 50, you know, sit down right here. And what are the people asking them? Why? Like, why do you want to sit in a group of 50? And they're just kind of like, just shut up and do it, right? No, they just, Jesus said, you know, just get in a group of 50. So the disciples did so, right? Verse 15, everyone sat down. This is great. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. So Jesus got about this much food. And the disciples know how much food is there. And people are in groups of 50. And the next thing they hear is Jesus saying his prayer. Dear God, thank you for the food you provided us with today. Now, all the people in the groups are doing what? Food. Like, and all God's people said what? Yeah, the crowd, like 5,000 people there, though there were 5,000 men. Didn't account for women and children, so you could have easily had 10,000. So now every disciple has got 20 groups. You know, it's like you got all these people, and they're looking at them, and the disciples thinking, I am dead, just so dead, you know, with these people. So it says, then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls that were left over. So we know each of the disciples had a basket. This is where you get, again, let your mind go. So Jesus had 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and the disciples got 12 baskets. Did Jesus break a little piece off into each of them before he prayed the prayer? And the disciples, they bowed their heads, and when they opened their eyes, the baskets were full. You think that's what happened? Could have. You would have known if any disciples were peeking during that prayer. Dear God, thank you. Oh! Like, Jesus, close your eyes. Don't know how it happened, but you know. He gave a basket to his disciples. Now here's the disciples, they go, and did they take it to the first group of 50 and, you know, here, you know, take what you want, take all that you want. And then the basket got low, and then they took the basket back up to Jesus, and he refilled it. Or did Jesus give him a basket that just continually replenished? It's like a bucket of chicken that never went dry. You take a piece, and you keep taking pieces, and there's always more pieces in there. You know, it's kind of like filling from the bottom up. What do you think? How many think they had to feed a group and then come back to Jesus? They had to bring their baskets back. Not many. How many think the baskets just continued to fill up? All the efficiency people in here. Didn't want them walking back and forth there. Okay, well, you know, second group's got it because I have no clue. I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. But we do know that everybody got all that they wanted. I mean, disciples were there. Anybody want any more? Seconds, thirds. There were teenagers there. Everybody got sixth and sevenths at this point. Anybody think there were pockets that got filled? Yeah. People with their purses, you know, fill. I mean, but there was plenty of food, right? Just out of curiosity, faith meter to disciples, what's it reading? Yeah, it is again all the way where? It's at a 10. Could their faith have gotten here if they wouldn't have done what Jesus asked them to do? So here's the maxim. Here's the big, big lesson I hope we all take out of here with us. It looks simple. Believe me, it is so profound. If I will do what I can do, that is what God asked me to do, then Jesus will do what he can do. If I do what I can do, what it is that God has asked me to do, then Jesus will do what it is that he said that he will do. If we just took a second and said, when somebody asks you, like, what's the Bible all about? I mean, what's the big picture of the Bible? This is the big picture of the Bible. God invites you into relationship with him through faith. Once again, I know that sounds so simple, and I wish I could just pause there. God has done everything that he's done in the Bible, in creation, to invite you into relationship with him through faith. You just take him at his word. As he reveals himself, shows himself, truths become, you just respond to that. Jesus did what he did, and if you're willing to say, God, I believe that Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, was all that was needed for me to have a restored relationship. You know, to be able to come, have my sins forgiven, to be brought into your presence again. Relationship. That's what God wants for everyone here. He's done what he's done. So you get a relationship, and it takes place through faith. But that's not the end of it, because the Bible then says, Old Testament, New Testament, so, so clear in the New Testament, and then God invites us to join him in his working. Do you know what you do with a person that you have a relationship with? Stuff. Relationships are built on doing stuff together. You hang out for sure, but the more that you do together in a relationship, again, yeah, the relationship just gets strengthened and it's built that way. God's invited you into a relationship, but not just so that you've got it, because now he's going to invite you, join me in my working. Why do you think God wants you to join him in his working? It's going to be a great question. Before you answer it, though, who all does God want? General question. What percentage of Christians do you think that Jesus wants to be involved in ministry, in doing the things he asks you to do? What percent? 0 to 100. What do you think? Okay, pretty unified answer there. 100, you know? Jesus would like everyone, Christian, to be involved in the ministry that he invites or asks them to be a participant in. Agree with that? Okay. Here's a harder question, though. What percent are qualified to do so? Now think about that. And how many go like 50% or above? Lower? Lower than 50? Okay, how many go like, I mean, you're going to go with the pat answer, 100%. Yeah, how many 100%ers here? Yeah, I doubt it. I don't think you believe that. I think you're probably 99%ers. You know why I say that? Because everyone here knows one person that's not qualified, right? Can you think of one person right now that's not qualified to get involved in ministry? Yeah. You want to point at him? That's exactly, you know, like, I know one person not qualified. Why would you why would you say such a thing? When we look at what the Bible has to say about this, it is definitely spiritually shaping for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us this. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, what he's done, this, you know, experience he's given us. It says there's different kinds of gifts. Spiritual gifts is what is primarily being referred to. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. I don't know if you knew that, but if you're a Christian, you've got one. Now there's other gifts and talents that are included too. All, you know, different gifts, but the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, is one that's given them to you. There's different kinds of service, different things that people can do. You're good at some, you're not good at others. It's the same Lord that is you're doing them with, you're joining God with, you're doing them for. It says there's different kinds of working. Just because you're not doing the same thing that somebody else is doing doesn't mean that you're not serving. But in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. God doesn't say do what somebody else is doing. He says, would you join me in this working? You know, kind of that pull in your heart or life that way. And then, wrapping it up, should read this with me, everybody? Now to each one, let's stop right there. Now to each one, the manifestation. To each one, everyone. To every single one is what the Bible is telling us. To every single one. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When you do what it is that you can do, when you join God and is working right here, there is a ripple effect that takes place for the common good in a local church as well as in the kingdom of God. That is what we see Jesus inviting us into. So why wouldn't a person serve then? Well, if we were frank about it, probably a couple reasons. Frankly, why don't people serve? Well, some would just go, I don't want to. Right? I don't want to do that. I don't want to get involved with that. I got other stuff. I want to do my stuff. I want to do that stuff. It takes too much time, effort, yada, yada. Maybe a reason that would resonate a little bit more with you, possibly, if you're not serving, would be this. I just don't have, finish it. Yeah, I don't have time. Because ministry takes time, doesn't it? People that come in, they get ready. I mean, some people, there's meetings, you know, do before they can serve here. You got to get here a little bit earlier. You got to brush your teeth if you're going to be serving or ushering or something like that. So you got to get up, you know, 5 minutes earlier to get those things taken care of. I mean, but yeah, there's time that's involved with it. But I think the biggest reason usually comes back to this. The reason I don't do what I think God would want me to do right now to join him in Samaria is that I just don't feel what? Yeah, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I'm ready. And that may be holding you back today. I would do this, but I don't feel ready. I don't feel qualified about doing this. I'm going to let you in on something. Nobody does. I mentioned we just started a bunch of new journey groups. We have 24 24 brand new group leaders. Of that 24, how many do you think feel qualified? How many do you think feel ready for this, what they're getting into? When they have a group there, you know, the first time they walk in, they're like, yeah, put yourself in their shoes. That's the way we all start. There's times, still today, I don't feel like I'm ready or qualified for this next thing that God's got us involved in here. Sometimes people ask me, do you ever get nervous before you speak? I'm like, are you kidding? Before I come up, my heart's racing, my stomach's twisting, my palms are sweating. Because I know what's at stake. It's not just going up and teaching a little bit of Bible lesson and saying, go home and live a good life. It's like, I know what God wants to do. I know, you know, some lives hang in this balance of eternity. Some eternity is going to be directly impacted. So I'll recap the lesson because I regularly recap this lesson for me. And that's this. If I will do what God asked me to do, then Jesus will do what he can do. I'll put it this way. If I will do what only I can do, what he asked me to do, then Jesus will do, God will do only what he can do. Think about this genius of Jesus. It's funny putting those words, genius of Jesus, together, but again, I'll state the obvious. The genius of Jesus. With the disciples, did the disciples learn more from listening or doing? Did the disciples learn more by being taught or by teaching? Yeah, send them out, and they're like, okay, now I'm really listening when I come back there because he may send me out again, right? Did the disciples learn more by being served or by serving? Okay, that was the disciples, though. What about you? Will you learn more by listening or doing, being taught or teaching, being served or serving? Remember what this is all about? It's about God wanting to grow our faith. I've stated the obvious a couple times, so I'll restate the obvious again. Did you know that Fox River is staffed, served by imperfect people? I know. You go, no. Yeah. We have 700, every weekend, 700 imperfect people that are doing something to the best they can, but you could say an imperfect way. But because of that, God is doing what only he can do in our lives, our children's lives, the lives of our friends and that get touched here. I think people walk into Fox River. Here's what I think. You can tell me differently afterwards. I think they walk in and they, you know, they evaluate the church based on the platform. You know, they walk in, great music, special teaching. You know, special, right? You're really special. Yeah. I mean, that's how it gets evaluated. But once you're here 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you're going like, they're trying, and it's true. We're trying, but the strength of Fox River isn't the platform. It's that rest of everything that's going. It's God working through all these people. And the truth of the matter is, we'd love to have you join us. We could double our numbers, 700 to 1,400, to be doing more better. If you've been involved in serving and in ministry, not only do I want to say thank you to you, in so many ways I want to say that, but if you've been involved, you probably could share a story. I didn't feel ready when I went into it, but afterwards, a month later, 6 weeks later, you know, with that 6 weeks later, you know what? My faith was bigger, and I think I saw God do something, maybe out there, maybe in here. How many of servants could say, yeah, I've served before, serving now, and I could tell a story like that. I didn't feel ready, but I saw God do something. How many could share a story? Raise your hand. Just lift it up high. Because people may ask, and those would be great stories to share. Okay, great. If you're here and you've kind of retired from serving, I could say, Who would like to raise your hand saying I've retired from serving? But that wouldn't be good right now from where I'm going to go, so I wouldn't do that. But we'll say you retired from serving. I'd say, do you have a story? You didn't feel like you were prepared or ready, but God did something. You'd be going like, oh, let me tell you a story. But I've retired. I've kind of moved on from serving. I've left, so I've opened up my spot so somebody else can take it. Thank you very much. Or, you know, I've done my time. It's like serving is a prison term. I've done my time. Really, the reason people retire is they've been burned along the way. Hate that when that happens, but it happens. Or they've been burned out. And they just got too involved, or the leadership wasn't careful. You know, something happened, you feel like you just burned out. So I'm done with that. Well, is God done with you? Does God want to just take the A out of faith for you? Of course he doesn't. And it's going to take a little bit even more faith, you know, to step back into it. But God's going to continue to build your faith. And if you've never served, but you felt this, like, boy, you know, people talk about this. Maybe it's missions, you know, Upward Basketball, you hear about that. Love Upward Basketball. We get hundreds and hundreds of kids here. And we've got, you know, our coaches, cheerleading coaches, basketball coaches, so many of them that feel this way. You know, they're starting out and they're going like, oh, I don't feel ready for this. And they look at the kindergarten boys and they're like, oh, I really don't feel ready for this, right? Like this, you know, like, oh. And when we wrap up the season, they're going to be going like, this was amazing. This is great. But when they start out, it's just kind of this pull in their life. And you may have this pull, like, I could do something. I mean, I might do that. I don't feel like I'm ready, but I'd like for God to continue to work in my faith. That's what we want to invite you into. In fact, it's easy to get the idea, like, we got everything covered here. So I ask if they would just kind of, what's a quick snapshot? If we could have extra people to help us right now, what would it look like? And in your program, you may have seen this. The thing that said you're needed in here. If you didn't, just grab it and look at it, and you can see every single service, we could use more people to join us, join God in what he's doing here. It's also placed there, you know, if you've got other, you know, gifts, talents, you're an artist, you're a, you know, baker, if you're anything like that, you can put that down, but you just fill that out. If you're interested, this is a six-week invitation. Start the week before Easter. Basically serve the month of April, you know, just kind of test the waters that way. We'd love to have you join us in being able to experiment or to see this. I'm not just talking to adults here. For sure, I'm not talking to adults. Right now, back in control booths, you know, all throughout the building on the stage today, we've had high schoolers, we have college students, we've got middle schoolers that are working, that are serving, and their faith is definitely proportional to what's taking place there. But if you will, step into an area of serving. Step into an area of sharing. I can almost guarantee you this. That you're going to say, that I just don't feel ready. I don't feel like I'm up to the task right now. But the truth of the matter is, that's where we all start. And it's not till you're there with your faith meter somewhere around the zero mark does God begin to move it. And I can guarantee you, he wants to move yours. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this invitation to relationship with you. But you've never just given us an invitation to sit, to be idle. Because you know, that is not what we were created for. That's not how we were created to grow. That is not how faith is going to develop. It takes place when there's action. And we just use that word ministry to describe joining you in the working that you're doing. As unqualified, as unready as we are, thank you for the invitation. And I pray that you would help us. For anybody here that just is at that starting point of just entering a relationship with you through faith, I say reach out to you now, acknowledging, I have a great need. I have broken relationship, I have sin, but I do believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and I come to understand that that is what I need. for your forgiveness and for your working in my life. And so that is what I choose to put my complete faith and trust in, Jesus. And if that's your prayer, just tell him that. Thank you again for what you're going to do, Father. We pray in your Son Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen.